and our ears to hear you this morning. Your word is alive and active. And I pray that as a church, we truly embrace that and believe that. That as we get our hearts prepared each week to come Sundays, that we might say, Lord, speak to me what you have for me, that I might be transformed to the life of Christ and be able to proclaim the truths, the riches of your mercies to the world. I thank you, Lord, for everything. In Jesus' name, amen. And so my desire, church, brothers and sisters, is to go through the letters of the Apostle John. John wrote some letters known as the epistles, John 1, 2, and 3. And we're going to look at all those three epistles, those three letters. And I'm going to start from 3, 2, and 1. I'm going to go backwards. And if you ask me why, I want to start with those first two quick letters written, but very profound as we go through them. And then we'll end with the first letter that consists of five chapters. So if you will, go with me to the Word of God, to John number 3. You know, we're used to seeing, go to John, and we're going to look verses 1 through, but we're going to look at all the letter. It's consistent of 15 verses. And the title for a message this morning is Walking in the Truth. Walking in the Truth. John 3, we're going to read all 15 verses. This is the word of God for us. The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul. For I rejoice greatly when the brothers came and testify to your truth, as indeed you are walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Beloved, it is a faithful thing you do in all your efforts for this brothers, strangers as they are, who testify to your love before the church. You would do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God, for they have gone out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support people like this, that we may be fellow workers for the truth. I have written something to the church, but Diotrephes, who likes to put himself first, does not acknowledge our authority. So if I come, I will bring up what he is doing, talking wicked nonsense against us. And not content with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers and also stops those who want to and puts them out of the church. Beloved, do not imitate evil, but imitate good. Whoever does good is from God. Whoever does evil has not seen God. Demetrius has received a good testimony from everyone and from the truth itself. We also add our testimony, and you know that our testimony is true. I had much to write to you, but I would rather not write with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon. And we'll talk face to face. Peace be to you. The friends greet you. Greet the friends, each by name. This is the word of God. As Christians, as followers of our Lord Jesus Christ, I ask, do you reflect a transformed life before the world? In other words, do we as Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ, do we live in a way that distinguishes us from the world? When I was in high school, back in the high school days, here we come. Everyone knew I was a basketball player because I was part of the basketball team from my freshman year to my senior year. I distinguished myself as a basketball player. As Christians, do we distinguish ourselves as Christians out there in the world? The Apostle John, the disciple chosen by Jesus, he wrote this letter to Gaius. And if you notice, the first four verses, if you were following along, you notice that he repeated the word truth. And if you notice in all this tiny, small letter, he repeats truth seven times. He emphasizes truth. And it's interesting because John uses this Greek word truth, and he uses it specifically referencing the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. In other words, what John has in mind is, does our life, our behavior align, agrees with the truth of Scripture? Does our lifestyle as Christian agrees, they go hand in hand with the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Does it go hand in hand with my proclamation of me being a Christian? I don't know about you. I don't know if you've ever been asked, how's your Christian walk? How's your Christian walk? If you've been asked that question, what the person is trying to ask is, are you following Jesus Christ? How's your relationship with Christ? Are you learning from him? Are you imitating him? Are you loving? Are you living as he is? Are you being transformed to his life? How's that going for you this morning? If we proclaim to be Christians, the very moment Jesus saved us by his grace, his mercy, and love, that very moment, at that very instant, he gave you a new life, didn't he? Didn't he give you a new life at that very moment? Didn't he at that very moment give you the Holy Spirit who came upon you, dwell in you, began a new life in that very moment? The Spirit of God came at that moment of salvation to help you, to help us in this new walk, in this new life as a Christian, as a follower of Christ. Scripture tells us that the Spirit of God teaches all truth. Amen? Remember when we went through the letter of Galatians, we saw that if we are walking by the Spirit, if we're keeping in step with the Spirit, if we are being led by the Spirit, there must be a change within us. It starts in the inside that is reflected on the outside. Input, output. At that very moment, the Spirit of God begins to work in us. The gospel truth begins to work in every aspect of our lives. The way we think, the way we talk, the way we live. This is a transformation that the Spirit of God begins to do within us as we walk. Scripture tells us that the work that he began in us, he will perfect it. Amen? But remember that now as Christians, we are sanctified, we are set apart. In our sanctification walk, we participate with the Holy Spirit. We walk in step with the Spirit. We are led. We walk in the Spirit. We participate in our sanctification. It's interesting to me when we ask the Lord, I want to serve you with all my heart. And he might be a genuine spirit within us. And that desire comes from him. And we pray, Lord, I want to glorify you. And we are presented and we are tested. I think if you heard one of these testimonies before, that there was this man praying to God, Lord, I want to serve you. I want to help you. I want to honor you. The next day he gets a call from the church. Hey, we need help cleaning the church. Oh, no, I can't, brother. I can't, you know. He begins to work in us, and we began to do good works. Good works that reflect the gospel truth. We don't stay idle. We participate with the Spirit of God. The Lord calls us to love our enemies, and we are to obey. We move, trusting in the Lord. We began to do good works that reflect the gospel truth. Jesus said in his teaching on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, let your light shine before who? Others. So that they may see your good works, and those good works give glory to your Father who is in heaven. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Ephesians, for we as Christians are his workmanship, created where? In Christ Jesus, for what? For good works, which God prepared when? Beforehand, so that you should what? What does it read? Walk in them. What's them? Good works. You see, as Christians now, we're walking in the truth. Our good works is a result of Jesus' saving grace. Good works apart from Jesus' saving grace won't save anyone, won't make a person stand right before God. So walking in the truth, brothers and sisters, means to walk in light of the saving power of the gospel. This is what we read and see here in this small letter. This letter written by the elder John, he commends and he condemns certain individuals concerning their walk in the truth. Did you notice that? He commended two individuals and he condemned one individual. And so my desire, church, is for us to see that stark contrast between those who, in light of the saving power of the gospel, are walking in the truth and those who are not. And so we will look at three individuals and a strong statement made by the Apostle John. So as you read, there are three individuals, three names that have been given to us by God through the Apostle John, Demetrius and Gaius and Diotrephes. And then lastly, we'll look at that strong statement that John makes. So let's begin with Demetrius. Who is this man? Who is this individual? Who is this Christian? Well, many have said that Demetrius is a Christian who actually delivered these three letters, John 1, 2, and 3, to Gaius and the local church. But not only that, he was the one that sent back the reports, the situation that Diotrephes and the church was going through. But look with me, if you will, at verse 12. Demetrius has received a good testimony from everyone. And from the truth itself, we also add our testimony, and you know that our testimony is true. This is all we know about this individual here. Demetrius is a Christian who has a good reputation. With who? With everyone. We're not sure what everyone means. We might say everyone within the church. Or we could say within the church and outside the church, Demetrius has a good Christian reputation. In other words, he's committed to the truth of the gospel. In other words, his life goes hand in hand, agrees with the truth of the gospel. He's well known among others. But not among others, but as well as the Apostle John. He says, we have seen his life, and we add to that testimony, we agree to that lifestyle, and you know that my testimony to you all is true. Would your friends, your co-workers, would they be shocked if they know you're a Christian? Would your family members would be shocked to know that you're a Christian? Or is this kind of a contradiction between what you say and what you do? In the case of Demetrius, his Christian walk reflects Christ. His life goes hand in hand with his good works, with his actions. And that's why we see John that he commends Demetrius. Let's go on with the other individual whom this letter is written to, Gaius. It begins in verse 1, the elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Who's this Gaius, right? I mean, we have more description of who he is in our passage. Some have said that he was a pastor, he was an elder, a leader. On this local church that the Apostle John oversaw, some say that he was just a local member within the church. But we know that this letter has been written directly to him, and his name is Gaius. You might come across this name in Scripture. If you have read the book of Acts and maybe the Corinthians, you have come across this name. And there's actually three other names mentioned in the New Testament. This name Gaius, who in Latin means one who rejoices. One who rejoices. So if we read the elder to the beloved, the one who rejoices. We read about Gaius from Corinth, Gaius from Derbe, Gaius from Macedonia, and then Gaius, John's friend here, whom he loved deeply. I don't know if you noticed that in his letter. He addresses right off the bat the elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. And then we jump to verse 5, beloved. And we jump to verse 11, beloved. In verse 5, beloved. So there's this deep, sincere love towards his brother. I don't think we write letters like that, right? My beloved, whom I love, brother Norm. Or text nowadays, right? We don't write letters anymore, only in birthday cards or. But it was a word very expressive, sincere, that was backed by true love. It wasn't superficial, nothing false, but it was what it says. Based in what? In truth. My love for you is based on the gospel truth. Look what he tells him in verse 2. John lets him know that he is praying for him. And he prays that all may go well with you and that you may have good health as it goes well with his soul. He's praying for him that everything, his journey, his walk may go well, that he could have good health, and that it would go hand in hand with his spiritual walk. Now there's two thoughts here. One have said that Gaius might have been sick, that he was having issues with an illness, and that's why he says, I pray that you are in good health. And it says that it goes well with his soul. I mean, that last statement really shows us that he had a deep relationship with God. His maturity was high. His walk with Christ was there. And so John does receive a good report concerning Gaius' life, because if we keep on reading, we find that John rejoiced greatly that Gaius is walking in the truth. And John has no greater joy to hear that the church, the local church, he calls them his children. My children are walking in the truth. I have to say, brothers and sisters, that as a pastor of Mountainside Church, as your pastor, there's no greater joy when I hear and when I see that you are walking in the truth. That you are actually living out the gospel inside the church and outside the church. It's no greater joy for a pastor, for a leader to see that from the flock that God has put under. It's also a joy for me as a pastor to hear that other Christian friends that I have that live here in El Paso and outside of El Paso, that they are walking in the truth. That they're serving the Lord in their local churches. But on the other side of the coin, right, we also see sadness among pastors and leaders when they see that the church members are not walking in the truth. Now, vice versa as well, church members, you should also rejoice and rejoice greatly when you see your pastor and your church leaders walking in the truth. Amen? And we all know what happened this week, right? Pastor John MacArthur has gone to be with the Lord, and it was a great joy to know that he walked well. With all his imperfections, but he stood strong to the truth of God's word. And that brings us joy as a body of Christ. But when other pastors fall and don't walk in the truth, it brings sadness to our lives. It's the same. We see it here. The Apostle John, he's filled with joy knowing that Gaius and the local church are walking in the truth. And here in this letter, specifically, we read that walking in the truth involves love. Everybody of us love that word, love, right? I love you. I love you, brother. I love you, sister. I love you, wife. I love you, husband. I love you. Don't we love to hear that word? I think we do. Walking in truth involves love, and John commends Gaius for his love for strangers. Men who Gaius didn't know, who were passing by, who were sent by the Apostle John to go and stop at Gaius' house, that he will receive them into his home. His love, Gaius' love for God and for God's people was displayed in hospitality. Gaius was taking these strangers, as we read in verse 5, beloved, it is a faithful thing you do in all your efforts for these brothers. And then he puts, strangers as they are, that you take him in your home. Not only do you open your home to them, you share your resources. Not only Gaius took him in, shared his resources, but he met their needs. But not only that, he sent them out, these strangers, on their journey in a manner that was worthy of God. I remember in my youth, we did a missionary work down in Cuauhtémoc, Mexico, and we went out there, and it was beautiful to see the love of brothers opening up their homes and receiving us. Maybe not the home, maybe not the bed, not the bed that we enjoy in our home, but they opened their home to receive us and to have the blankets ready each morning and to have coffee ready to serve, tortillas made, and just enjoy and see their love for the brothers and sisters. He receives them, shares his resources, meets their needs, and sends them out on their journey to proclaim the gospel in a manner worthy of God. They had gone out to serve the Lord Jesus. They had been called to go and proclaim his name, the good news among the non-believers. These strangers were sent by the Apostle John, and John commends the faithful work that Gaius has been doing, but not only him, the local church. I remember that there were some missionaries sent here to El Paso in our previous church, and one of the leaders just came and told us, hey, guys, you guys are going to bring in some missionaries to your house. Okay, you know, I guess so. At first it started like, well, they didn't even ask me, they just told me. But my mom and my dad opened our trailer home, and they came in, and we enjoyed the fellowship, and we gave them what they needed, and they left with a great smile and appreciation. And there were other families that opened their homes for those young missionaries. John encourages Gaius and the church to support men like this, that they may be fellow workers for the truth. We read here that these strangers were not accepting nothing from Gentiles, Gentiles meaning unbelievers, Jews or Gentiles. And you might ask, well, why wouldn't they receive things from non-believers? Well, they were careful not to be a stumbling block and to say that these Christians were taking advantage of other people's resources. So these strangers depended on the generosity and the gifts of the church. So let me say this, brothers and sisters, that when you ever have an opportunity to give money or host a missionary or pastors at your home, seize the opportunity. If you're able to, seize the opportunity, take action. Because when you do, as we read here, you will become what? A fellow worker for the truth. How awesome is that, brothers? To be a fellow worker of the gospel of the truth. These strangers, they testified before the church the love they had received from Gaius by taking them into his home. And so walking in truth, brother and sister, involves love in this letter. He showed hospitality because he loved God. It starts there. It starts with God. He understood that God had poured out his love for him by sending his only son, Jesus Christ, into the world so that he might receive eternal life. It all starts with God. It starts our reaction towards God. We'll look at this, but we'll read a portion in John's first letter, 1 John chapter 4, verse 10, 11. In this love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, where does it begin? With God, amen? God loved us, we also ought to what? To love one another. We love because God first loved us. And he displayed his love towards you, towards me, sending his son to pay the penalty of your sin on the cross. He died for your sins in your place. And once you have experienced that love and understand the gospel truth, which is fundamental, you'll be able to love what? Love one another. Now, Gaius' love for God and his people is in striking contrast to this other individual whom John condemns in verses 9 to 10. Let's keep on reading, verse 9 and 10. I have written something to the church, but Diotrephes, who likes to put himself first, does not acknowledge our authority. So if I come and I will bring up what he is doing, talking wicked nonsense against us, and not content with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers and also stops those who want to and puts them, what does it say? Out of the church. What a strike contrast between Gaius, Demetrius, and Diotrephes. John gives a lot of description of this individual's life. Once again, some have said that Diotrephes was a pastor, a strong leader within the local church, or others have said that he was an influential member with authority in the local church. But just in these two verses, 9 and 10, we have a lot of statement description of this man, Diotrephes. Let me give you here 6. First, he starts off, John writes, and that, I think this is where he begins, right? He loves to be what? Number one. To be first. He loves it. There's this strong ambition in him to be first. Second, he refuses to acknowledge the authority of the apostles. He refuses to recognize the calling of John. Third, he maliciously spreads gossip, talks wicked nonsense against John, not only John, Gaius, and other men of God. Fourth, he withholds hospitality from other believers. What's interesting to me is right there in the middle of verse 10, John writes, and not content with that, without receiving authority or recognizing authority, he's not content with talking wicked nonsense. He's not content with him being first. He's not content. He withholds hospitality from other believers within the church. Fifth, he stops those who want to receive the strangers that John sends into their homes. He says, no, don't do it. And lastly, he would. He excommunicates. He kicks out those who want to show hospitality. Those who truly, sincerely want to show their love in the truth. So it's obvious that this individual, Diotrephes, is not walking in the truth. But I want you to see that everything flows from that first statement John writes about. What's that first statement? He likes to put himself what? First. What does that mean? That he's selfish. That he's arrogant. He is a prideful man. and from a prideful, arrogant, selfish, me first and you last, from that heart flows jealousy, flows wicked nonsense words, because he wants to be first, he wants to be recognized. From there, slander words come out of his mouth. Anger flows toward others who really want to walk in the truth. If you don't say what I do, you're out. And so obviously, brothers and sisters, he is not practicing what our brother Fred read this morning, Philippians 2, 3 to 4. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others, what does it read? More significantly than yourself. Let each of you look not only to his own interest. It's interesting, did you read that, right? It's good to look at our interest, but he says, let each of you look not only to your interests, but also to the interests of others. What a stark contrast from a commending statement to a condemning statement. From one that is walking in the truth to another one that's not walking in the truth. And so John continues writing, if I come to you, I will bring this up to the local church of what Diotrephes is doing. I will bring it up. I will remind him what he's doing to the church, in front of the church. This is interesting, brothers and sisters, because what happens if he allows this to happen in the local church? It's devastating. It begins to contaminate. It begins for others to see the life of Diotrephes and begin to what? To imitate. That's why we read here that John writes to Gaius and by extension the church, do not imitate evil, but imitate what? Good. John is saying very clearly that the church should not imitate the life of Diotrephes, but imitate the life of Gaius and Demetrius. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians saying this, be imitators of me, as I am of Christ. See, the Apostle Paul says, I want you to imitate my life. Look at my life, imitate my life, because I imitate who? Christ. Because earlier he wrote in 1 Corinthians 4:16, I urge you, brothers, then be imitators of me. You see, what Paul is doing here is instructing the church, the Corinthians, and by extension us this morning, to carefully examine our Savior's life. To carefully study, know, and examine our Savior's life and his teachings. But not only that, but also examine the lives of other faithful Christians who walk in the truth. As followers of Jesus Christ, we are called to follow Jesus' example, to become like him, of course, through the help of the Spirit of God. You know, Jesus, he said to the disciples in John 13, 15, for I have given you an example. I've given you an example that you also should do as I have done to you. In this same chapter that John wrote, he wrote a new commandment. Jesus said to his disciples, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. And how should we do that? Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. brothers and sisters, to imitate our Lord Jesus Christ, to imitate Christ, we must get to know him intimately through consistent and disciplined devotion to his life and his word. Did you catch that? To know him, to be able to imitate Jesus Christ, we must get to know him intimately through consistent and disciplined devotion to his life and his words, his teachings. Paul wrote to the Ephesians, "Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as how God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." You would agree with me that Jesus is our supreme example. Amen? However, you and I are encouraged to imitate Christian men and women whom we can point our young, our children, our sons and daughters, our boys and girls to imitate. Brothers and sisters, as Christians, we all should discipline ourselves to be such examples. So be careful whom you watch, who you follow, who you hear. When I was growing up, back in my basketball years, here we go again. Everybody wanted to be like Mike. Who's Mike? Michael Jordan. You guys remember that commercial? Everyone wants to be like Mike. And so we are there in Walmart trying to buy Wheaties, remember? Wheaties, because he ate Wheaties, right? The cereal. So there we are. We want to be like Mike. We want to imitate Mike. So be careful whom you watch. But also, I want you to hear this. Be mindful of who is watching you. Be watchful or mindful of who's watching you. And so now the elder John goes on to make a strong statement in the second half of verse 11. Look with me there in the second half of verse 11. Whoever does good is from God. Whoever does evil has not seen God. This is a very strong and firm declaration. Whoever does good is from God. Whoever does evil has not seen God. What is John saying here? He's saying those who profess to be a Christian and their lives aligns with their profession, they know God. They are true Christians. They are walking in the truth. They are children of God. Those who walk in truth of the gospel know Christ. They pursue righteousness even in their imperfections, even in their shortcomings. They pursue righteousness. They pursue being like Christ. They walk the talk, as we say. They live what they say. They know God. But those who profess to be a Christian and their lifestyle do not align with the gospel truth, they haven't seen God. They don't know God. Those who are not walking in the truth, those who proclaim to be quote-unquote Christians, have all these sorts of contradictions in their lives. They have not seen God. Diotrephes was not being Christ-like. His actions said otherwise. Well, wait a minute, brother. He's within the church, right? But we're going to see in 1 John, we're going to see that statement that we all know. They were with us, but were not of us, because if they were of us, they would have stayed with us. God said through John, whoever does evil has not seen God. What a strong statement. Diotrephes was not in no way walking in the truth. He was not loving the church, loving Christ, but not showing hospitality. He was not recognizing the apostles' authority, which were called by Christ. He had not seen God. He had not known God. I'm going to go back to John, first letter here. Chapter 4, verse 7 to 12. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is from God. And whoever loves has been, what does it read? Born of God and know God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God has made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. Verse 10. In this love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us. How did he love us? While you were enemies, while you were sinners. He demonstrated his love for you, if you're a Christian, on that cross. He loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, if God loved you, we also ought to love one another. And look at what it says here. This is important. No one has ever seen God, right? Have any of you guys seen God? But look at what it reads. If we love one another, God abides in us Christians. And his love is what? Perfected in us. How does the world, how does the church, how does anyone see God? Through us. Through Christians. Through the church. Remember the words of Jesus to the disciples. Everyone will know that you are my disciples if you what? Love one another. We just read here in this letter that whoever does evil has not what? Seen God. Does not know God. This individual, Diotrephes, would have not experienced the love of Christ in his life. He didn't understand the gospel truth, the transformation of the Spirit within him. God did not abide in him. He was not perfected. The love of God was not perfected in him. It was clearly displayed in his action that God was not abiding in him. Diotrephes had not experienced the love of Christ in him. Have you? And I love the ending here of John. He says, I have much to write to you, but I would rather not write with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon. There's this sincere hope to see the church, be there with them, and we will talk face to face. And I love the ending, verse 15, peace be to you. Be well. Be encouraged. Peace be to you. The friends greet you. Friendship is so important. Here in our local church, we have a covenant that we have come to love, to look out for each other. That friendship should be strong. And I hope we strive for that. And I love this. Greet the friends, John writes, each by name. I love that. Are you imagining that? Priscilla Dominguez, the Apostle John greets you. Michelle, the Apostle John greets you. Freddy's, the Apostle, I know, individual, right? Freddy, the Apostle John. There is this sincere love that the Apostle John saw. He saw the grace and the truth right in front of his eyes. He touched him. And he experienced that, and he was able to love Gaius, Demetrius, and the church. And because he loved the church for the glory of God, he says what he says about Diotrephes. If when I go, I will bring this to the church, and in his face, I will remind him of what he's doing. So in closing, brothers and sisters, a lot to take in, to examine, to take an inventory of our Christian walk. Now, this is a lifestyle that was happening. I know we all fall short. But the difference between a believer and non-believer is that the Spirit of God dwells in us and convicts us and moves us to confession and moves us to recognize. And so the question for us as Christians, are we walking in the truth? Are we imitating Christ as we should? Does my life, the way I live, agree with the scriptures? Does it go hand in hand with the gospel truth? I also want you to consider, brothers and sisters, when you have an opportunity to be a fellow worker of the gospel truth, of the proclamation of the truth of Jesus Christ, take it. Bless monetarily to ministries, to missionaries, to pastors when there is an opportunity to do so. Be imitators of Christ Jesus. Get to know him intimately through consistent and disciplined devotion of the study of Christ's life and his teachings. Amen. Let us pray. Jesus, the scariest thing is that you know us deeply. We can't hide. You know us. You know where we fall short. You know when we struggle with our pride, or me first. You know us. And if we are true Christians, you convict us and you speak to us directly to our spirit. And you point us to the truth and want us to align to the truth and walk in truth so that others may see that you abide in us. If we as Christians have experienced and have received this undeserving love and mercy and grace, we ought to live as you lived. And if we are failing, God, today we confess. We confess our sins before you. Help us, Spirit, that we might walk in faith, that we might be in step, that we might be led by your Spirit, God. Help us, Lord. I thank you for this letter written, profound, that we have the privilege to read. I thank you, Lord, for my brothers and sisters. In Jesus' name, amen.